my name is Sandra, and I'm a member of Kohanon.
Hi, Sandra.
Never ever have I been this nervous. I think this is insane. This is the first time I'm doing a share at a Kohanon meeting. I found Kohanon. I think the first time I heard about Kohanon was when Donna was in Sweden. And I found Kohanon through CA. I got sober, I think, 3.5 years ago. And it's so funny, when I came into, when I got clean and sober, I heard everyone talking about, they all said, when I got into recovery, I thought that I had had the worst childhood ever, but when I sobered up, I realized my childhood wasn't that bad. And for me, it was the total opposite. I came into recovery with the beliefs that I have had a kick-ass childhood. My family is incredible. Everything is just wonderful. And the more sober I got, the more weird my childhood got. And I could just see people. I did everything that I was told to do, but I didn't feel like I was whole inside. I still had a little piece missing, and I never understood what it was. And then I think it was last summer, I got a Kohanon sponsor, and I worked the 12 steps of Kohanon. And I thought that was just a little missing piece, whatever, but I think that was probably a large piece to fill in my soul. And I'm thinking about when I grew up, and this is so weird, like, I grew up with a dad. My mom and my dad got a divorce when I was 1.5 or something. So I told everyone, always, that my dad is the greatest dad ever. Until this day, I have a hard time sharing about him, because I feel so much shame when I say that my father is sick. And I don't like to talk bad about other people, because it feels like that. I know that it's not... I know that that he is not me, but I feel ashamed about myself also, because I have a dad. I just think that will reflect poorly upon me. So I'll just say that he's awesome, so that I look awesome too. And for me, like, when I grew up, like, this is one side of my dad, that he's the most loving, caring, most beautiful, funny person I've met in my entire life. But he's also the most selfish. He's so mean, and he's so sick. I wish that he would be like one or the other, that he would be like the most awful person I've ever met, but he's not. He's been my best friend. He's been he's been by my side like forever. When I grew up, I know that I loved when my dad was drunk. He was always happy, and we always had friends over, and I loved to go down to the pub and hang out. I always loved drunk people, because I think they're funny. And I get to do stuff that I didn't get to do when they were sober. Like play dart when I was 7, and everyone's like, "Go, Sandra!" I'm not like, "Woo!" It's just, we're making a pizza just in the middle of the night, like at the pizza. It's just, I loved it. The funny thing is that I have a sister. She's 1.5 years older than me. And I think that's probably, like, when it comes to addiction, that she's not an alcoholic or an addict than I am, and she hated it. So I think that's a little bit of both, because she don't like drunk people. She doesn't drink today, and I just love the environment. It's so, like, for me, I've always had the feeling that I need to take care of my dad. I remember I think I was 12 or something. when I really felt I want to move to my mom, live with her.
Yeah.
So I told my mom that I wanted to move in with her, and I told my dad. And my dad, he got so sad that I was going to leave him or whatever. So I decided to stay for him, even though I kind of knew that it was best for me to go with my mom. It was a much safer place to be, but I didn't want to make him sad, so I stayed. And I remember my dad, he was always, he could, either we had a lot of fun, or either he just yelled at me for no reason. I never understood why. And if I was 5 minutes late when I got home, I didn't know that if it was okay that I was 5 minutes late, or if he were going to yell at me till I started to cry almost. So I think all of that just made me, I'd never, since I always took his feelings in like the first room and on my own, that's how I started living life as an adult when I started. I remember my first boyfriend, I think like he could do whatever and I didn't really care. Whatever he's, if he's online on the sex dating side, I would get mad. I'm not this kind of quiet, I will get furious, but I will never leave you. That's how I... You can do whatever you want to do, and I will bitch about it. I will trash the apartment, but I will never leave. And I think where I really started, when I realized that I really needed to do something about this, was when I was sober, and my dad, he just get... like every other addict, like it only gets worse. And he only gets sicker. And I could find myself being like 2 years sober, living this spiritual life, walking with God or whatever. And when I talked to my dad, I went insane. Like if I said, if my sponsees would see me now, no one wants what I have because I'm insane. I'm just, you're a fucking idiot. I hate you. And he just screams back and we're just screaming at each other. And I was like, I just told myself, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to care about what it says. And it tears me down every time. So my dad is just, he kept getting worse. And he's sending me I haven't talked to my dad for like 1.5 years. I'm not ignoring that he exists, but I don't have the tools to deal with him. He's in an entirely different world. He writes me letters about like this conspiracy theory that history repeats itself 10 years later and I'm like this person 10 years. It's just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So I stopped talking to him. I said, I can't do this anymore. I need to figure stuff out. And at the same time, I got into this new relationship with this guy that I thought was the love of my life. I remember when I was with this, my latest relationship, we broke up like this Christmas, so I get together with him, this stuff with my dad happens, I start working the steps in Kohanon, and I tell my sponsor in Kohanon, I was like, I told her like, I'm only scared of one thing, and she was like, what is that? And I was like, that when I do this, I'm going to realize that I'm together with the wrong boyfriend. And she just looks at me and says, well, it must be horrible to know what you want out of life. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Never thought about it like that. So I worked the steps and I realized that this guy is not for me. It's so funny when... So I shared about this a lot when I broke up with him. Like, this guy, he wasn't a bad person. He was just very, like, it was all about him. And I remember when we broke up, I just started laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? Like, because we're... And I was like, this is insane. We're both in love with you. I was like, that's a big issue in this relationship. And it was just... And like, even when we broke up, I could find myself, like, a week after, like, thinking that, oh, my God, did I just broke up with the love of my life? And when I... But if I look, like, And that's just the part of me that don't want to be hurt, that don't want to be alone, that just want people to love me. But if I look at the relationship, like he didn't want to live with me. He didn't want to travel. He didn't want to spend too much time. He didn't want to talk on the phone. He didn't want to do anything with me. And I think that I just dumped the love of my life, like uh-huh. the greatest guy ever. And that's just not reality. So when I started doing the steps, I need to write this down. And my sponsor said to me, when it comes to my just my dad and stuff, that what you said yesterday, that I didn't cause it and I can't control it and I can't cure it. And I was blown away. One part of me gets kind of sad because I just want to fix him. I just want to hold his hand and say that it will be okay. But I know from working the steps that I have that I can't help him whatsoever. That he has to help himself. Now I kind of lost my whatever. How long am I sharing for, by the way?
About 50 minutes, 45, whatever you want.
Just need to get back in.
It's okay, take your time.
So when I started working my first step, that was kind of I think a relief for me, but also kind of sad though, because it made me understand that because my dad, he can be so mean. And it's before, it just went straight to my heart, and I felt like the baddest daughter ever, like a really bad person. And he said that I'm selfish, I'm so mean. Like, and I know that I'm not a selfish person. I'm not a mean person. Like when it comes from my dad saying all of that, it has to be true. Like it feels whether I want it to feel or not. And when it says that, like. That I didn't cause it. It's not my fault that he is in the state of mind he's in. It's not my fault that he feels bad. And I think now, like a year later or something, that's a little bit like further in my heart, I think. Because when I heard this, I heard what my sponsor was saying, and it made sense. But it took me a while to really feel it in my heart. And that's... and I need to put that in into a lot of relationships that I have in my life. So when I... We just talked about all of that and the relationship that I was in and all of that. And if I... If I just look at my my previous, my last relationship, that relationship drove me to insanity sometimes. I think one time when I don't think we had a fight or something, but it was just like I was spiritually dead inside, and I felt like so empty. I just started to throw stuff in my apartment. I took like my night table nightstand, just threw in the wall, and he was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "You drive me insane." And I thought that was his fault that I was doing that. But what I've learned from doing this is that I'm the one who's in that relationship. I'm the one that stays with him, and I can't I don't accept him for what he is. It's just I want to. Everything should be this way, and everyone should act this way, and we should get along so much better. If you just called me more, if you wanted to live with me, if you wanted to do all of this, then we would be fine. Like now, that means I better find another boyfriend. That's the easy part. So when I look back with, like, with, and this has been with, like, a lot of relationships that I've had. So I just, for me, if I looked at my life and the relationship that I was in, like my the best abilities that I had made me go insane. When it came to my father, relationship that I had with friends, with my boyfriend, everything, just I didn't know what to do, and I didn't have the tools to do anything. So when for me to find God in all of this, that was kind of a miracle. And I thought, since I've done the steps before, this shouldn't be an issue, but it is. It seems like a big issue. and I never thought that I was leaving, that I kept so much to myself that I didn't want to hand over to God. Because I thought that I had this God thing under control. which I didn't. And I think the second and the third step was, I don't know, probably quite easy. I think maybe because I've done it before, I don't really know, but it's just made sense, since I had such an such an enormous change in another area. I didn't have a hard time doing my second and my third step. But then we came to the fourth step. And that's that was kind of a big deal for me, I think. I've had when I did my resentment list, and this is how much I never ever tell anyone if someone does anything bad towards me. So I had this one friend, we're a group of friends, and I had this one friend, he slapped me in the face one time, because I was sad or whatever. And I didn't want to tell anyone, because first of all, I didn't want to make him look bad. I don't want to make people fight or choose sides. And I also think, as I always do, that will reflect poorly on me. What did I do to make him slap me in the face? I'm just like, it's my own fault that I was in that situation. It is just these different things. And then, like, when I do my resentment, this is like, I didn't tell him, like, that's not okay. I didn't tell anyone of my friends. People like, why are we not hanging out together? I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, he's kind of, I don't know. Like, it was just weird. I just disconnected from that group of people because someone did something towards me, and I thought that was my thing to carry or whatever. And just going through a lot of almost every relationship that I have been in with friends or family or boyfriends. First of all, I'm super dishonest. Like, I don't lie about, like, regular, like, normal, like, I'm not a liar. I'm a bad liar. I don't have a poker face or whatsoever. But when it comes, I'm so dishonest when it comes to my needs. How I feel. I think friends or, like, anyone can do whatever, and I will say it's okay. Because I don't want people to be mad at me. And I think that's from my dad. And I always say, like, there's some... I can have resentment towards my dad and, like, the way I was brought up or whatever. And I don't have a part of my, like, upbringing or whatever. I don't have a part in, like, bad parenting skills or whatever. But what I do know, like, my part is, like, how do I let that affect me today? Because even though I don't want to be my dad, sometimes I have a hard time, and this is what I'm working on now. If someone hurts me, and I'm gonna try to tell, like, what you just said hurt me, I don't know how to do that without yelling at that person and become really, really mad. And that's So, like, I just called my sponsor, like, I'm just quiet because I don't know what to say. And he was like, that's good. Because if someone hurts me, I get so mad. Like, I know that I'm sad and that I want to cry, but it just comes out in anger. Sometimes I need to wait, like, a few days to say something just to be like, okay, I think I got this under control. I'm not going to... And I think that, and also what came out when I did my, when I did my fourth step is that I'm so, so selfish. I think that everyone should be the way I want them to be. Because if everyone just would be like loving and just hugging each other and laughing all the time, and we would laugh at the same jokes, we'll like everything, like this world would be beautiful. And instead, I could just accept that people are not like me, and that's totally fine. And also, I don't have to have people in my life. That doesn't make me feel good. And that's a big thing for me, I think. I remember, like, when I did my sex inventory, also so dishonest. I think like 90% of the people that have sex with 95%, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to be rude. I don't want to say no so that I hurt you and you get mad at me. So we just do this and I'll just go and take a shower. that's kind of what my so that's kind of weird though. So I've been practicing to say no a lot, and it's kind of cool. I don't have to have sex with people that I don't want to have sex with. That's kind of awesome. And I even have this, and this is so much fun. I didn't see it at the moment. I just thought, like, so I was here, like, a few years back. I think it was, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and I started dating this guy, and I talked to my friend. I was like, hey, I'm dating this person, and she said, but I think he has hepatitis. And I was like, wow, that's the... She was like, I hope you're using a condom. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. And then I just started to think about it. So I called up my sister. I was like, hey, if I get hepatitis, is that something permanent? Or can I take some medication for that? And she's going, and she's like, why do you ask that? I was like, no, just a random question. And then I'm kind of thinking, like, this guy, he's been touring all over the world. He's been like a drug addict for 20 years using needles. Like, maybe he has like HIV. I don't know. Like, and I was like, but then I think to myself, rather to like ask him, like, can we use protection? I kind of think like, well, if I get it, you can need medication that so that you can live like a normal person. And I can probably get rid of the hepatitis if I catch that one. And now afterwards, like, why the hell did I do that? Like, that's just insane. That's just insane. I'm willing to get like a disease of some kind, so that I won't make someone else feel rejected or whatever. Because I don't want to be rejected, so I don't want to reject anyone else. So that was kind of a cool thing for me to just see all of that. And I think when I did all of my fears, I think that's probably why I'm so scared till this day. And I've been in these meetings for kind of a year. I'm always so scared of that you all are going to figure out that I'm a fake and that I don't belong here, that I'm not, like, I shouldn't be a QAnon. Like, my dad is not that bad. Like, my childhood was. I just think that I don't belong. Like, there's something, and it's just, that's like my constant fear, I think, not to belong and to people figuring out that I'm a fake or whatever, but I'm not, it's just so weird. I just feel like people will catch up, they will know my big secret, and then I'm screwed, and I don't have any, but it's just, that's how I feel. And then I just have all of the other, like, regular fears that I don't want to be alone. I'm scared that I'm going to be single forever. That's why I maybe should go back to my ex-boyfriend. Stuff like that. But it's... And I remember when I did my fifth step with my sponsor, that was... it was such a beautiful thing to share this with her. And my sponsor, she's one of the most kick-ass persons I've ever met in my entire life. She has so much love. She's so caring. She always listens. She always gives me advice. And I remember when we were gonna do my when she was gonna leave my house and I was gonna do my like 6th and 7th step. Says in the book that you should be like quiet or whatever, sit down for an hour or something. And I'm not the kind of sitting down type of person, like taking the book off the shelf or whatever. So I just looked and I was like, am I going to sit here for an hour? Like, what's the rules here? And this is the beauty, like, it's, she sees me, like, who I am. So she tells me, like, why don't you put on some music? Because I know that's how you feel connected. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I put on my favorite song for repeat, and she said that sit here for as long as you want to. If you want to sit here for an hour, that would be kick-ass, but if you feel that the 20 minutes is enough, you just do whatever you want to do as long as it makes you comfortable. And I think I sat there for like 1 hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. The longer I was sitting, just more stuff came up, like... Just how dishonest and how selfish I am. Even though I don't think I am, because I care about so many people. But sometimes it is in such a selfish way, and such a dishonest way, because I will care about you so that you won't get mad at me. Then it's just about me. It's not about you. It's just about me. You're loving me. That's all it's about. And also sitting when I did when I was sitting listening to my music, and when we talked about all when we went through all the lists and all my resentments in my life, and we just talked about stuff, like that's the creation of my best thinking. When I'm trying to be the best person that I can possibly be, this is how it turns out. So for me, it just made more sense that I need even more God in my life. And for me, I think it was all God when it comes to that I had like the courage to break up with my ex-boyfriend. Because I prayed every night, like, show me what's right. Help me to do the next right thing. And I got so many, like, I believe in signs. I'm one of those people. So I got so many signs. It could be like, oh my God, what should I do? And then I like press shuffle on Spotify. And this song is like, don't go down this road again. Like, until you suffer some. That's how it's like walking down the same. It's just like, what? And I called my sponsor, like, what does it mean? And then I think if I just like keep my faith, I will get the answer. And for me, it's a lot about patience. So I remember one time when I was lying in bed with my ex-boyfriend. He made me so unhappy, and I stayed in that relationship, I know. But then all of a sudden, we were lying there, and it was just like one day before we broke up. I felt this, I don't know, this power just rushing through my body, and I started to cry. And he said, like, why are you crying? Because it was just out of nowhere. And I told him, like... Like, no matter, like, I told him, like, because he didn't believe in God. I was like, and I said, like, it doesn't matter what happened, because no matter what, I will never be alone. And that's, I need to share now, like, at this moment, I don't feel God, like, present, like, just all of this. Sometimes I do. But when I do feel that I have... when I feel the presence of God, I'm not scared of anything. when I, if I have this connection, doesn't matter if I'm going to be single all my life. It doesn't matter whether my dad thinks that I'm an idiot or not. It doesn't matter if I have money or not. I just don't care about anything. Not in like a, I don't care about you, but it's just, it doesn't matter. Because everything will turn out the way it's supposed to. I'm just gonna.
I hope I brought my book now.
I do like a lot of like daily reading, and it's, can I read one of these?
Absolutely.
It's not approved literature, I think. So I'm not gonna mention what it is.
It's part of your speaker thing. You can do funny.
Yeah, awesome. So the 1st of May. It's dealing with disharmony. And it's so weird. I've read this book. I love the daily readings when you keep on reading them. I've been reading this for 3 years, I think, and never ever have I noticed this page. Mm-hmm. So it's so beautiful when I practice, like when I do my morning routines, that I pray every morning. I read this and I add some things. I might read something out of the big book. I do my inventory. I just do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do. And it's so weird how different things can pop out and make sense at different... So bear with me when I'm reading this. I'm just going to jump into the middle. So dealing with disharmony. We are told in those days divorces were granted by the something law on the most trifling grounds. Married people who were not getting on together as well as they would have liked were prone to run away from that problem by obtaining an easy dissolution. Now we understand that no permanent happiness can be obtained in this way. As long as you are running away from your problem, you will continue to meet it in a new guise at every turn in the road. Just as in running from one business position to another without first having brought about a change in consciousness, we found ourselves repeating the old conditions in a slightly different form. So, as a rule, people who divorce freely are apt to finish up as this something. Sorry. No, as finish up as dissatisfied as they began. The general rule in truth is, fight out your problem where you are with prayer. The general rule is still good for all condition in life. Do not try to divorce or amputate the inharmony, but let it dissolve away of itself under God's guidance. And for me, that since I'm not married or anything, I just think that for me, sometimes I can end up in this like, oh, poor me, why is this happening to me? Life is so bad. And but when I kind of just stay in what's going on, like with my dad or any other relationships that, or my sister or my mom or whatever, kind of a lot of relationships that's not the way I want them to be. If I just trust God and if I just do what I'm supposed to do, I don't believe that things will turn out awesome and amazing. I just think that my way of looking upon it will change. And my feelings towards other people will change, or my how I deal with stuff, and it's just, and it has been proven, like, because that's my experience, that things will stay the same, but if I just trust God and I keep on doing what I'm doing, I will change as a result of doing it. I can be more patient, I can be more loving, I can be more understanding, and at the same time, like, have integrity. I can keep my boundaries. I can say no to people. I don't know. It's kind of amazing. And I still haven't sponsored yet. I don't have I told myself that I'm going to have one sponsee in both programs, and now I have two in the others. So I'm waiting for one of them to just finish so I can start with someone over here. Because I've had too many sponsees. that was one thing that it made it kind of wrong too when I was sponsoring, like from my other problem. I had like 3 sponsees at the same time, working the steps, working full time. I did a lot, and I was just so stressed out. I was like, oh my God, I don't feel good. And like, as the person I am, the people in like CAA was like, you better go help someone else. And I was like, okay, I'll go and help. Who should I help? So I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. And people just like, be of service, go and help someone. And I was like, I help people all the time, but I'm dying inside. So for me, I need to find that balance of like helping in a good way, but not being selfish. Like, I can't do this. Like, I have an issue with helping too much, so I'm not going to help anyone. Like, it's a fine line for me. But I think I'm getting a grasp on it. I don't really know what I've said now, but I think I'm quite done. So. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You did wonderful. Okay, we will now observe the 7th. And I've asked, oops, except he, no wait, I've asked someone to read the do's and don'ts, but he, yeah, you can read that one. It's the same as this.
Want me to read it?
Yeah. Thank you.
The do's and don'ts. Do forgive. Do be honest with yourself. Do be humble. Do take it easy. Tension is harmful. Do play. Find recreation and hobbies. Do keep trying whenever you fail. Do learn the facts about drug addiction and alcoholism. Do attend Qanon meetings often. Do pray. Don't be self-righteous. Don't try to dominate, nag, scold, and complain. Don't lose your temper. Don't try to push anyone but yourself. Don't keep bringing up the past. Don't keep checking up on your addict alcoholic. Don't wallow in self-pity. Don't make threats you don't intend to carry out. Don't be overprotective. Don't be a doormat.
Thank you. That's my favorite reading, by the way. Couple of quick things. We do have T-shirts for sale. They're beautiful. I've got them in all different sizes. I've got them in the other room. See me for that. We have an opportunity drawing. It's 6 tickets for $5. See me for that. I think that's it. Oh, we also have like an informational table set up at registration. And if anybody's willing to sit there and just sit there. So see me for that. And that's it. And we'll close with the Serenity Prayer.
You want to circle up? Good
shape. Is there a moment of silence? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Did we hit the stop?